Hi, everyone, and welcome to Toro Sports Talks. I'm your host, Peter Toro, and I'm going to be talking about women in sports, and specifically for each episode for this podcast, I'm going to be focusing on one main female athlete that is most likely going to be in contention for Women's Athlete of the Year, and then I'll also be bringing up a prevalent issue for women's sports. So for today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about Michaela Schifrin, who is an alpine skier, and she is, you know, the number one skier in the world right now. So I'm going to be talking about her, and then also about UConn women's basketball and the women's tournament in general. Alrighty, so Michaela Schifrin is the number one skier in the world. She's breaking records left and right. She has four Crystal Globes this season. The season just ended last week. She won the 2019 overall Crystal Globe, the Giant Slalom, the Super G, and Slalom. It's the first time that man or woman in alpine skiing has ever done that, has ever won that combination of four globes, and she's one of, I believe, six skiers to win four globes in one season. She won 17 World Cup victories, which is the new single-season record for men or women. The previous record was 15. She had 19 total wins on the season and 29 starts. And of those 29 starts, she made the podium in 24 races. She did all that. She just turned 24 last week. So she did all this extremely young. And another reason that this is so great for the sport and for female athletes in general is because she's out earning all men or women for the sport, and she's just setting the bar so high. Another reason that this is great is because even though, you know, some of the earning is a little different between sport to sport for men and women. For skiing, it's the, you know, if you win, you're gonna get paid. And Michaela, she won more than any single person in the history of the sport, so she got paid more than anyone in the sport, which makes sense. And that's great because there is no gender wage gap. It's just cut and dry. Michaela Schifrin is the best skier, so she's going to get paid the most. So you'd love to see that across more platforms in sports, but the odds of that happening are not that high. It's great to see for skiing, and it's great to see for skiing because I think it brings more attention to the sport. There's really, it's like watching track. It's real exciting watching someone like Michaela run because she's just been so dominant from the beginning of the season to the end of the year. Every single time she took the mountain, she just owned it. And she's so calm with everything she does. Listening to her talk about her winning, you wouldn't know that she's winning every single race. You know, other racers this year were real good, but they had other areas that they had to work on too. People like Wendy Holdender had a heck of a year. Petra Vlova was right on Schifrin's heels throughout the year, but Schifrin ended up pulling away, and you know, there was really no one even close to her. She was able to sit out a couple weeks for some disciplines that she didn't even race in, and she still ended up, you know, just killing all these records. So I think that says enough about Michaela and her ability to just go out there and own it. And she just does exactly that every week in and week out. And it's so much fun to watch her because, you know, you'll look at the rest of the pack of skiers and they'll all be kind of jumbled in. And then it's Michaela out way ahead. You know, there were very few races when it wasn't her up by, you know, more than a second, which is unheard of to win by such a margin in skiing. So that's just great for the sport, and it brings so much excitement having her. And I think her ability also just to still stay so calm and within herself shows what kind of a person she is, but it also, again, is great for the sport of skiing. And she deserves the attention, and so does the sport, because it's a lot of fun to watch. You know, this, she did all this in a non-Olympic year, and I think it's easy to be overshadowed when someone like Lindsey Vonn is retired. It was the same year that she retired, and you know, Lindsey was the poster child for skiing for a long time. But it's Michaela now. She's just too good to not, and she's just too good to be ignored. You look at, you know, her track record and everything that she did this year. This was, without a doubt, one of the most dominating years for all of sports, men or women, no matter what the sport is. Because every time that Michaela went out, you know, the other skiers were essentially going for second. Whether she's a household name or not, I don't think she is, just because of, you know, it being skiing and women skiing. But it's a lot of fun. She should be someone that demands that attention on mass media. And, you know, I think they're getting there slowly with skiing and with women's sports in general. I think you're seeing more and more women in sports, and more attention is being given to them, as they should. They deserve it. With that being said, I'm Michaela Schifrin. She is one of my top picks to be the Women's Athlete of the Year. And now on to our issue for the talk today, and that's on specifically the UConn women's basketball team and their ability to be perfect and the perception that the media has and wanting them to be perfect. So for the first time since 2006, the UConn women Huskies basketball team is a number 2 seed. It's the first time that since 2006 that they are not a number 1. They lost 2 games all year. So I'm not sure how they're not a number 1 seed. The fact is they have 2 All-Americans on their team in Katie Lou Samuelson and Nafisha Collier. Neither one of them, Nafisha Collier is not going to get the Naismith Award, which is you know, the best basketball player. There's 4 top 4 basketball players in the country. She was not named as one of them. However, when you look at her numbers, I'm not sure who votes on that. I'm not sure how you keep her out of that conversation either. She played in every single game for the Huskies so far. She plays almost all the time. She plays averages 32 and a half minutes, 20 over 21 points a game, over 10 rebounds a game. I mean, she does really everything for this UConn team, who they don't have a big presence down low and defensively as they normally have. And Nafisha Collier certainly acts as that kind of player for them. And, you know, the entire offense goes through, you know, really, really her, because she can kind of do whatever the team needs her to do when she needs to do it. You know, and this UConn team, I think it really came down to, you know, they said that it was because of the conference that they play in. They didn't lose a game in their conference, though. So they lost 2 games out of conference, and they have one of the toughest out-of-conference schedules. So the fact that people in the committee say that the reason that they're not a number one seed is because of they're playing in the American Conference just doesn't make sense. You're just automatically saying then that if they're not perfect, you're not going to be a number one. And it's the same thing with Nafisha Collier, I believe, in her not being to the Naismith Award, is that because she's at UConn and they weren't perfect, that's on her. And that doesn't really make any sense to me. And there have been several headlines throughout this year on, you know, how UConn has fallen from greatness and how they're beatable and all this stuff and all this nonsense. They lost 2 games. I mean, it's better than losing, you know, last year and the year before that they were undefeated, and then they lost in, you know, the Final Four. I believe they've lost 4 games in the last 6 years. I mean, that's ridiculous. That doesn't happen in sports, in any sport, regardless, you know, it doesn't happen. You can replay those 6 years and they're going to lose more than 4 games over that time period, but people freak out when they lose because it's like, oh, it's UConn, they lost. But they get more attention when they lose than when they win. And it's kind of the same thing that happened last night. Last night they were playing Buffalo in the second round at Gamble, at home for them, and it ended up being a, you know, it wasn't a 50 point blowout. So people are going crazy over it, saying, you know, look, look at this team. You know, they're not blowing everyone out of the water. Something must be wrong. And it doesn't make sense when you say that, but I think this is this gets to the issue at hand with sports, and specifically women's sports, because I think that we put them in such regard that women have to be perfect in their sport to get any attention from the media. You know, I don't think many people are freaking out. You know, you look at these teams that make the playoffs, they're not freaking out if they lose a couple games here and there, because you know you're going to lose, you know you're not going to be perfect. But when you look at these teams that have dominated women's sports, specifically UConn, you know, and the greatness that they've had, this is with their win last night against Buffalo, they advanced to their 26th straight Sweet 16, which is one off the all-time record of 27, but that doesn't happen. You know, you look at nobody wins that much, but UConn does. So the perception is that when UConn loses, you know, the sky is falling and something is going down. They didn't even lose last night, but you know, they won by double digits, by 12, and the headline was, you know, UConn narrowly escapes. Well, guess what? If it's any other team other than UConn, that headline is just saying they win. I didn't see, you know, Iowa's the 2 seed, and they have one of the best players in the country, and she, Megan Gustafson, and she's going to be one of the highlighted players for Athlete of the Year that I'm going to cover. But no, I didn't see many headlines about how Iowa won and how close of a game that was, because people don't care about Iowa basketball, which they should. Megan Gustafson is a great player. She's fun to watch. But this perception that UConn has to be perfect or else they're no good, and that, you know, when they, it's not a 50-point blowout and that it's a 12-point game, that this is something to, you know, go crazy over, is just a little ridiculous. It's the same thing that I think the women's national team for soccer in the U.S. suffers from time to time. You know, they had a couple friendlies with the She Believes Cup a couple weeks ago, and they didn't win those games. They didn't win the tournament, and people were going crazy. You know, you were reading articles about, oh, this is going, you know, this, that, or the other. And I think that happens when you create such a climate and such a culture where you're just accustomed to constant winning. And the only way that most of these women's sports and women's athletes get attention is when they are perfect, and when all they do, they demand that attention because they don't lose. I mean, it's the same thing with Michaela Schifrin, who we just talked about. She literally won everything. So you're talking about her. I'm talking about her. Same with UConn, but you know, when it almost creates such a cloud over them, because they're going to get more attention when they don't win compared to when they do win. And I don't think that makes sense at all. You know, they have one year where they lose two games in the regular season, and people are saying, oh, yep, they're beatable. Anyone can take them. Okay, go beat them then. You know, nobody's beaten UConn at Gamble in at least 4 years. Katie Lou Samuelson and Afisha Collier never lost a game at home. The, you know, Brianna Stewart, Mariah Jefferson, and Morgan Tuck before them won 4 national championships in a row. They didn't lose while they were at UConn. So, you know, I just don't understand this idea that if you're not perfect, you don't get attention. And it's not even really the case with Connecticut, because they have two players in Katie Lou Samuelson and Afisha Collier who deserve to be All-Americans. Whether they are or not at the end of the day is a different conversation, but they both deserve and have put up the numbers to be All-Americans, and they have the top scoring duo in UConn history, which is pretty crazy when you go down the list of names that have played at UConn, that they're the top two scorers that there ever have been. Not to mention that they also have the number one freshman in the country, recruit, and Kristen Williams, who plays. They also have one of the best point guards in the game in Crystal Dangerfield, And they also have another very good player in Megan Walker as your starting five. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but UConn deserves all the credit in the world for what they were able to do this year. They're not exactly getting credit for it, and I don't think, you know, you look at sports and women's sports in general when these athletes aren't perfect, that they don't get all the credit that they deserve. So that's something that should probably change. And you look at, I think this is prevalent too in my sense when I start thinking about it, for the women's soccer team with it being a World Cup, that if they don't win the World Cup, it will most likely be viewed as a failure. And that's not a good way to view it, because it's not easy winning back-to-back anything. It's not, you know, the women's national team is trying to win back-to-back World Cups, and it's complete, you know, it's a vastly different looking team than when they did it 4 years ago. And the same is true for, you know, UConn. And the same is going to be true for Michaela. It's going to be different for her doing it next year versus doing it what she was able to do this year. It's the same thing for UConn, you know, with the turn in and turn out every year with seniors, and it's different. And, you know, it's the same is true for the World Cup cycle. Every cycle is different. Every player is going to be different and have, you know, you get older, you get new players coming up. So it's crazy to think that you're going to be perfect every single time you go on the field, and that if you're not perfect, then, you know, what is going on? Something horrible is going to happen. And, you know, that's when you get more attention, and that you should get attention regardless of the result, but focus more on the process that got you there. And, you know, if UConn were to lose last night in the regional, before the regional, you could only imagine what the headlines would be. So I think that's a problem that society needs to fix, just in the view of women's sports and female athletes in trying to get perfection out of their mind, because that doesn't happen in every perfect doesn't exist. You know, you can try. You're not going to get very far. But that's something that needs to go away, I believe, in women, female sports, and, you know, sports in general. Just get rid of the idea of being perfect, because you can only do your best. And, you know, if you're doing that, then how can you get upset with the results? So thank you for listening to Toro Sports Talks. Appreciate it. Next week we'll be talking about Megan Gustafson of Iowa for potential Athlete of the Year, and also be talking more about specifically Women's World Cup and their preparation for getting ready for France coming in June. Thank you for listening.